Certainly good to see this number out this afternoon, and I want to express my sincere appreciation to the elders and to the congregation here for the opportunity to come and to speak to you this afternoon. Many of you have already mentioned to me that you've heard that I'm making a move. Janet and I are going to be moving back to Kentucky to work with a congregation down there, many of whom I kind of grew up with. So in one way, this is like going back home, but I did want to say that, you know, we've been here in this area 13 years, and we've always appreciated the congregation here at Knollwood. I appreciate what you've done for my family, and it's always been a privilege for me to have the opportunity to speak to the group here, and you've always been very kind and supportive of what we've tried to do, and so certainly I want to express my appreciation for that. And if you ever get down to Litchfield, Kentucky, then look us up. That's near Bowling Green, if you don't know where that is. But we are looking forward to the move. We believe that's what God wants us to do at this time, and we're hoping that everything will go well when we get there. But I'm sure we're going to miss Dayton and miss many of you as well here. But tonight I want to talk with you about something that each and every one of us face, and that is, no matter what your situation in life, where you're very prosperous or where you're kind of struggling along, all of us are going to have obstacles that we have to deal with in this life. You know, many times people get the idea that when you obey the gospel and become a Christian, that it's sort of like a fairy tale life, that you just, from then on, everything goes well. And that would be nice, but we know that that's not exactly the way it is. Now, we're going to show you tonight that we are promised that God will help us through every trial, every difficulty, every occasion that we have to face in this life. He never leaves us or forsakes us, and I sincerely believe that we can make it through the struggles of this life. But we need to realize that there's certain principles that we have to put into practice in order for that to happen. Now, when you talk about an obstacle, what is that? Well, it's something that obstructs or hinders or stands in our way of progress. Now, I don't know what your particular struggles have been. Maybe it was financial. Maybe it was family problems. Maybe it was something else. But, you know, health problems many times. We all face different things through our life. And so the question is not how to avoid struggles, not how to avoid obstacles, but how do I overcome them? And so the first thing we need to realize in order to overcome them is that it's not something unique. Each and every one of us have to expect obstacles and challenges and temptations. How do we know that? Well, Satan's out there. Is he going to leave you alone? If you've ever read the book of Revelation or studied the book of Revelation, you know, in the second half of that book, beginning in chapter 12 there, it talks about the various struggles that are going on in this world between good and evil. And it shows there how that Satan tried to stop Christ from being born into this world. When he failed, then Christ died and went back to heaven, but you know what it says? It says he encircles the camp of the saints. Who's that? It's you and me. Now, he's got the rest of the world. They're already following him. So who's he going to work on? Who's he watching for? Who's he going to try to tempt and destroy if he can? And so as long as we're here on this earth, we're going to have struggles, and we need to expect that and realize that we've got to overcome those. If we make it to heaven, we won't remember any of these struggles. We won't be worried or concerned about anything we went through here on this earth. Now, what we're going to do tonight, the wonderful thing about the Bible is that there's so many stories in there that can relate to our life today. And I'm going to tell you one tonight, or talk about one tonight, that you're all familiar with. And that's David and Goliath. But we're going to relate that to how to overcome struggles. And the first one is that we have to expect temptations. Now, look at what we see here in 1 Samuel 17. It says, a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Okay, I don't know if you've ever broken that down with Goliath, but he was a mammoth man. He had been trained his entire life to be a soldier. And so he's now defying the armies of God. Why would that be a problem for the people of God? Well, who's king at this moment? Well, it's Saul. And what happened with Saul? Well, he had rejected God. Remember, he didn't obey God, and God rejected him as king. And so there's really no leadership in Israel at this time. Why didn't Saul go out here and take on Goliath? You want to know why? He's afraid. Just like the rest of the Israelites were, because Saul knows God's not on his side at this moment. And that's the first lesson we have to learn, is that if you want God's help when you're in a struggle, what do you got to do the rest of the time? When everything's going well, you need to be faithful to God. You need to be thankful to God for all the good things that are happening. And then when the struggles come, then you've got help. Saul at this moment has no place to turn for help. And so this giant man here is just making a mockery of the children of Israel. Now, what did he look like here? Well, 6 cubits and a span. How much is that? That's 9 foot 9 inches. He's almost 10 foot tall. Now, the average Israelite over there would be like 5'5", 5'8". You know, 6 foot is a very large man to them. So what do we say? Goliath is twice as tall as any man that might be coming up against him. He's not just tall, but he's got a bronze helmet and a coat of mail, or he's got a breastplate that weighs 250 pounds. So he's carrying around a breastplate that weighs more than most of us. He has bronze armor on his legs. He has a spear that's like a weaver's beam. Now, for us, you know, you see this landscape timbers. A lot of people have them, put them around their flower beds. That's what we're talking about. If you can imagine picking up one of those landscape timbers and using that as your spear. So he's got this huge spear, and then what's on the end of the spear? Well, the spearhead itself weighs 25 pounds. You ever picked up a bowling ball? Think of putting a bowling ball on the end of one of those landscape timbers, and that's what you're throwing. This man is huge. This man is mammoth. And in addition to that, he had a shield bearer that went before him. Now, this is an artist's rendering, but it's pretty accurate here. You know, here's little David down here, and here's this huge mammoth man, and he spent his life being a soldier here. So now what's he doing? He's standing out there defying the armies of God and saying, "Send out your champion to fight me." Now, which one of us would want to do that? And so what happens? Well, he's just making a mockery of God and the children of Israel day after day. Now, how does David come along into this? Well, the two armies, the Philistines on the one side and the children of Israel on the other, just standing there basically looking at each other, because no one wants to go out and take on Goliath. So it said every day he'd come out and say, "Well, send out your champion. Send somebody to fight me." So it says all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So is there anyone that says, "Okay, I'll go out and fight Goliath"? They're all cowering in the bushes, if you will. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Now my question again, Who's supposed to be the leader of the children of Israel at this moment in time? Who should have been the first one out there to fight Goliath? But is Saul going to do it? No one wants to do it. And as it says here, what would the king do if somebody would go out there and fight Goliath? You know, Goliath's not only making Israel look bad, not only making God look bad, but what about Saul, the leader of God's people? So Saul certainly would have done anything to get rid of Goliath. And that's where our story comes along. Now, David, at this moment in time, is just a young boy or young man. Some people think he might even have been a teenager. We don't know exactly how old, but he's young. And what's he been doing? Well, he's been tending sheep. But he has a brother, at least one, and maybe more, that are here with the army, and they're responsible for trying to deal with Goliath here. And so David has been sent by his father to bring them some food. And David hears what's going on here. It says, David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel?" Now there's a key phrase. Who was the constant enemy of Israel after they took the land of Canaan? Was the Philistines. Why? Because they didn't drive them out like God had directed. And all through David's kingship, what was the group of people he constantly fought? And the same here with Saul. And so they're now having the upper hand, and it's a reproach to Israel that they don't trust God enough to go out and take this man and destroy him. It says, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now here's my question. Why hasn't somebody thought of that before now? Why did it take David, this young boy, to come along and say, "Now wait a minute, we're the children of God"? You know, Saul hasn't done that. None of the others. Now, any of you have brothers? Is there any sibling rivalry between brothers? You know, David makes that statement, and of course, then his brother shows up, Eliab, and says, "Go back to your little sheep there. You don't know what you're talking about here." Says, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David and said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle." How is it when your own family don't have proper respect for you? You know, is this a struggle? You know, what does his brother say? "Go back home with your sheep and mind your own business. You don't know what you're talking about." Of course, what happens? Well, the second thing in dealing with a struggle is to make an honest evaluation of yourself. What does that mean? I can't think too highly of myself, and I can't put myself down. I've got to make an honest evaluation of what my strengths are and what my weaknesses are. And why do we need to do that? Does Satan know your weaknesses? So what's he going to use? Is he going to come against you with your strengths? Is he going to work on those weaknesses? And so you need to know what your strengths and weaknesses are and make an honest evaluation of yourself. Now what happens with David? Well, Saul hears that there's some man in the camp here that's willing to go and face Goliath. How bad is it? David's just a young man, a sheep herder here. He's not a soldier. But Saul's so desperate, what? He's willing to take anybody that'll go out there and face Goliath here. So notice what happens. "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. Has David been in some difficult situations? Yes. Because if you're tending sheep out here in the wilderness, are there going to be some animals that would like to consider them a delicacy? Okay, he says, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Why is David recognized as one of the greatest kings of Israel? Why was he described as a man after God's own heart? Because he could see things that other people didn't see. Why didn't his brother go out there and take on Goliath? What did he say? This man is defying the armies of the living God. And so, if you stand up for God and do what's right, is God going to take care of you? That's what David believed here. Now, what's Saul ready to do? Anybody that'll go fight this Goliath, anybody that'll go fight this giant here, he's ready. So David said, the Lord who has delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Now, do you have that kind of faith? Do you believe that with God's help, you can overcome any problem in your life? And if you don't live, if you've got some medical problem where you're not going to survive, do you believe that that's God's will and He's going to take you to a better place than here on earth? See, that's the kind of faith where you can overcome the struggles of this life. You realize this life is just temporary and God's going to help me. David said, the same God who delivered me from the lion and the bear will help me with this uncircumcised Philistine here because he's defying God. So what does David do? You know, he's ready to go, and Saul says what? Go ahead. God be with you. Isn't that a shame? Here's a grown man who's been king and supposed to be the leader of God's people, and he's ready for a boy to do his job. Accept yourself as God made you. You know, I remember growing up, and I think everyone knows I grew up in Kentucky, and so when you're a boy growing up in Kentucky, the thing you want to do is play basketball for the University of Kentucky, okay? Is that ever going to happen when you're 5'11 and slow? So what do you have to do? You know, that was just a young kid's dream. I had other dreams of being a gospel preacher, and so that's been fulfilled. And it's been a wonderful life. But the point here is you have to accept yourself as God made you. I wasn't 6'5". I wasn't fast. I wasn't all those things that you might need to be in order to be a college or a pro basketball player. But I've tried to use the talents God has given me. Now what happens with David here? Well, Saul is ready to send him out there, so Saul says, you can't go out against this man with no armor on, so he tries to put his armor. And if you remember, Saul, it said, was head and shoulders above all the other Israelites of his day, so he was a big man as well here, but it says, so Saul clothed David with his armor and put on a brass helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Could he be Saul? Could he fight with Saul's weapons? No. So what's he got to do? Now think about it. This man's 10 foot tall. He has a coat of armor that weighs 250 pounds. He's got a spear that's the size of a landscape timber with a 25-pound head on it. What's David going out there with? Nothing but just his clothes. Are you ready to do that? See, you got to remember what you've been taught. As parents, why do we teach our children? Why do we warn them? Why do we always tell them, be careful? Because we want them to do what? We want them to remember when they're out there on their own, when they're facing that struggle, when they're facing that challenge in life, when they're being tempted to do something they know they shouldn't do. What do you want them to do? You want them to remember what you taught them. What's David going to do here? Well, notice, it says, then he took his staff in his hand, he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag and in the pouch which he had in his sling, which was in his hands, and he drew near to the Philistine. What's he got? A staff, a slingshot, and 5 stones. What's he going against? 10-foot-tall man who is a professional soldier. What made David think he had a chance against this giant? What had he been taught? Put your trust in God. How did he become a man after God's own heart? He had been taught by his parents to fear God, and what did he learn by his own experience? He said, I've been out there with the bear and with the lion, and who always helped me? The God of heaven. And he believes that even though he's completely outmanned by this giant here, that God's going to be on his side this time. My question to you is, do you have that kind of faith? When you're facing that giant challenge ahead of you, do you say, I can't do this? Or do you say, with God's help, I'll be successful? We can't do it all on our own. Could David have beat this man on his own? Absolutely not. Notice the passage from Proverbs. My son, keep your father's commandments and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and a law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Following those good teachings of your parents, especially if they're God-fearing parents, is going to be what's going to guide us through this life. And then, can you run from a challenge? Does it go away if you run? You know, the New Testament makes a lot of statements about the Roman soldiers and their armor. You know, the one area they had absolutely no protection on? Their back. Because if you turn to run, there was no protection. And they did that on purpose. You can't turn to run. We have to face the problems. They're not going to go away by ignoring them. They're not going to go away by running. They're not going to go away by pretending they're not there. Okay? Look what happens with David. Here's this 10-foot man with all of his armor. He's even got an armor or a shield bearer out in front of him. And when the Philistine looked about and he saw David, he disdained him. What's Goliath been asking for days here, maybe even weeks? You know, he's been out there laughing and carrying on about the children of Israel and them unwilling to send somebody out. And then he comes out here and here's this young boy out there with no armor on. So what do you think he's going to say? What are you doing? He says, this tells you about David, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. Ruddy means what? Well, he was tan. Where did he stay all the time? He's out there with the sheep here. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? What's he got in his hand? The staff. So he said, you're going to come out here and fight me like a dog with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now there's an important point. This is a challenge between Goliath and David, but not just Goliath and David, but what? The gods of Goliath and the one true God of David. So he curses David by his gods, and the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Now I just want you to picture for a moment David looking up at this mammoth man and him saying, I'm just going to feed you to the birds. Is it easy to be brave and say, I can overcome anything until you're standing or staring that challenge in the face? Does David run? What happens? David said to the Philistine, you've come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. Did David say, I've come at you with rocks? No. He said, I'm coming in the name of God, the one that you've been defying. And He's the one that's going to deliver me into your hand. He says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. What do you think Goliath said when he heard that? This little boy is going to take my head off? And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. See, if Saul had been in a right relationship with God, he could have taken care of that. But it took a young man here who had greater faith than any of the other children of Israel to go against this giant here and say, God's going to deliver you into my hand. That's the next point. Can we make it on our own? Can we make it without God's help? Why do we have so much alcoholism and drug use and all these other things? Well, certainly a lot of that is just recreational or entertainment. But what a lot of people say, well, I'm trying to forget my life, my problems, all the things that are going on in life. Does it work? When you come off of that hangover or that high, are the problems gone? But they've just multiplied. The child of God has help. We have power to help us. And David demonstrated that here. Says David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. He had trust in God that He would help him with his difficulty. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take off your head. And so again, he says it's the God of Israel that's going to do that. Now, what happened? How many shots did David have to fire? Now, you think about this man, 10 foot tall, with all of this armor on. Would one little stone probably bring him down? Now, we know that David was a Benjamite, and they were known for their skill with the sling, and they could definitely put things exactly where they wanted it. But you know what I believe? I believe God was directing that stone. What happened? It struck Goliath in the forehead, and he fell to the ground, and David cut off his head exactly as he had said. And the Philistines ran in terror, and they were destroyed by the rest of the Philistines, or the rest of the children of Israel, rather, who now were willing to follow David. Why were they willing to follow him now? Where were they at when he's sitting out there looking the giant down? He succeeded where others had failed. It says, here's our promise. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you believe that? What's the promise here? He said, He will give us strength to deal with our problems. He'll renew our strength. What does it mean, the wings of an eagle? See, an eagle flies higher than any other bird known to man. So there's no mountain, there's no tree, there's no what? There's no obstacle the eagle can't fly over. So if God gives us the wings of eagles, what does that mean? There's no obstacle you can't overcome with God's help. He says, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Why that? If you're able to run, God will give you that ability. If all you can do is walk to overcome your difficulties, He'll be with you there as well. And another favorite passage of mine says, there's no limit to what God can and will do for us. He says, to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, if you wanted to say there's no limit to what God can do for you, how would you say it better? He says it's exceedingly, abundantly, above all. God will do more for you than you ever thought possible. He'll do more for you than you ever asked Him to do. But is it a miracle? See, what's this last phrase means? According to the power that works in us. Did God just kill that Philistine without David going out there and staring him down? No, He could have. What did David have to do? He had to have the faith to go out there and look that man in the eye and say, you're going to be destroyed today for the crimes you've committed against God. He had to take that stone out of his pouch. He had to put it in the sling. He had to sling it. And God did the rest. You know, if I'm hungry, can I just pray for turkey and dressing to fall out of the sky and wait for it to come down? But I got to go get a job. See, I got to do my part, but this says God's going to be there. He's going to help us. And He's going to make sure that everything works for our good. And so finally here, you can triumph where others have failed. It wasn't David's brother out there. It wasn't Saul that was out there. It was David, this young shepherd boy that brought down Goliath. Says, so it was when the Philistine arose and came near to meet David, that David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. We can succeed where other people fail, but only with God's help. So how do you overcome obstacles? Well, number one, we got to expect them. We got to look forward to it. Not that we're anxious to have trouble, but we just need to know that this world is not a place where there's not going to be struggles. We need to make an honest evaluation of yourself. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And then accept yourself as God made you and be the best person that you can be. Remember what your parents and what others have taught you about the Word of God. You've got to remain faithful to God. Never run from a challenge. The only way to overcome is to face it. And always put your trust in the power of God, and then you can triumph where others have failed. You know, my prayer for the congregation here is that you'll continue to grow and prosper and put your trust in God and see what great things can be accomplished here in this congregation and in this area. But it's all with God's help. But if you're here this morning or this afternoon and you realize that you need to come back to God, you know, if you don't have the faith that David had, then you need to work on that. And if we can help you this morning to make your life right with God or help you to correct anything that's wrong in your life, then certainly we'd be happy to do that. If we can help you in any way, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.